Hey y'all, what's up? This is episode
6.
And you're now kicking it with Key. Okay, hello ladies. Thank you for coming to Kick It with Key on this beautiful, cold, but chilly day. This is a wife life, so everyone on the call is married. So I'm going to go ahead, start off with some introductions, and then we're going to get into the topic. So Lilla, you're up first.
Okay, my name is Lilla. I've been married for 6, together for 13 years. And life is, that's all I got for now.
Katasha, I muted you. So now you.
Oh, okay. Hello, everyone. My name is Katasha. I've been married for almost 8 years. And we have been together for almost 17 years. I think that math is right. We have 3 children together. I think that's it.
Okay, and you know, it's your hostess with the mostest. And I've been married for 5 years. This year makes 6. I like to say that we had a light switch relationship because we've been on and off it's going to be 18 years this year. However, consecutively, we've been together for 10 years. So now let's give these people the realty on this wife life. Okay. Now, it's so funny that we're recording this episode today because I saw a post on Facebook yesterday that said, it's easy to get married. It's hard to stay married. So, mm-hmm. You know, I see all these people, they're like, oh, I'm engaged, I'm gonna get married, blah, blah, blah. And I'm like, okay, girl, get married. But, you know, the importance is, are you gonna stay married, you know? Mm-hmm. So one of the things I like to shine on Kicking It With Key is like the truth. The stuff that people don't really tell you, because everyone wants to show you the good side. No one wants to show you the real side. I'm not going to call it a bad side. I'm going to say the real. So I think that we all have one thing in common, that our husbands have a hobby. Mm-hmm. So do one of you want to kick it off?
My husband has a hobby. He likes to make music. So that means studio sessions, writing sessions, shows, promo, all that stuff. When we were first dating, it was fun and interesting and exciting. I do think he is extremely talented. I think that he, you know, there's so many people out here trying to make music, trying to be a rapper, and he'd be like, let it go. Don't even try to do that. But I think he has a unique voice. I think he has a unique style. I feel like it's something that he could do if he, you know, really wanted to do it. But it has come with some hardships in our marriage, because our goals in that realm don't always align. So some things I don't understand when he is pursuing his passion. And to be honest with you, I used to carry some resentment because he did have an outlet. He did have something that he was passionate about. And I was over here just being a mom and a wife, which isn't his fault that I don't, you know, it's not his fault I didn't have a passion. It was just, you know, how things unfolded. But that's just like a mini rundown of his hobby. And we do be right though.
We do, like, for real. Happy wife, happy life. Like, you know, just tell the truth, you know. It is what it is. So, my husband, keep in mind, we met 18 years ago. We were in high school. And when I met him, this was already a passion of his. So, my husband plays football. Mm-hmm. And he still plays football 18 years later. I mean, it's very, very serious, very competitive. There's the flag season, there's the contact season, there's all-star games. Like, I mean, it's really, I mean, for real, a real big deal. And so initially, of course, before kids, I'm at the games, like, you know, I don't have anything else to do, so of course I'm gonna go support my man. But then we have children, and I'm like, okay, are you gonna cut back? Because when will there be quality time? Because with you all and your husband's hobbies, I mean, of course, with Kataisha, her husband probably has to take time to sit and write raps or find beats and things like that. So that's like his, I would call that like his practice. But my husband has a practice that he has to go to at a set time. So whereas he could, you know, Kataisha's husband could find time any time to, like, you know, he could be in the bathroom and writing, but he's still in the house. My husband has to leave and go somewhere for practice. And like it was stated, resentment was there because I did not have a hobby. I think I just finally found what I'm supposed to do, you know, really late. But there's also risk of injury, like you said, with motorcycles. Like, it's dangerous. So, and unfortunately, in 2013, he did get severely injured and was out. You know, he was down for 7 months. Like, so everything falls on me at that time. So it's like, I understand this is your passion, but like, when we gonna hang the cleats up? You know, why you can't be the coach where it's a little bit safer, maybe, and redirect some of the time and energy that's spent. So my question to you all is, how do you have the conversation that maybe this is taking a little bit too much time and there's not enough quality time? And is that more so because you're looking for time to spend with him? Or is it because, like, I'm trying to pass these kids off to you so I can go do hot girl shit like Megan Thee Stallion?
Well, okay, so I wanted to clarify something because I don't want people thinking like, oh, they just, they like some bitter women. They don't got no hobbies. They don't have nothing to do. But I think, you know, all of our relationship dynamic is like different, obviously. So Leon and I started dating in 2007. 2 years later, I got pregnant. So between 2007, we were still on and off, but I guess 2008, we kind of got like a solid, we had a solid foundation where we were, I guess, like dating each other, but then came the baby. Then came trying to maintain, and we were struggling pretty much. And so then, he started riding motorcycles. So it's like, we went from dating to me becoming a mom, and we know everything that comes along with that. And then you being gone out the household a lot. So I don't want people to think like, oh, they bitter because they got a hobby or whatever. Like, no, they, my husband, I don't know about y'all husbands, but no, he was intentionally, not intentionally, but he was taking away time. He was taking away time from the home, basically. So I don't care that he has a hobby. I mean, I think it's great. Like, he has an outlet. It was just like the small things that came along with that package deal of him having a hobby.
And just to piggyback off of what Lila is saying, it wasn't, I would have loved to have a hobby in the early stages of his hobby, but my job at the time for him to do his hobby, I had to be mom. So it wasn't that you know, he's doing music and I'm doing crafts or something, or a podcast over here, because we could work together. I had to step up and do more of the household things to make sure he was able to have his outlet. So that's where the resentment comes in, because there's not enough hours in the day. Mm-hmm. Something is going to fall. And unfortunately, when you're a mom, things can fall. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? So to have the conversation, first of all, I had to be real with myself why the hobby was a problem. And the hobby for me became a problem because of the person he was making the music with. We go just gonna call him Chicken Wing, okay? I don't like Chicken Wing, okay? Kiki, I see you laughing. I don't like Chicken Wing because I feel when you are married and with hanging with people that are not, y'all priorities don't line up. So if I'm telling my husband, you know, I don't think you should be doing a show on a weeknight, if he's making music with someone who doesn't have the same responsibilities that he does and books a show on a Tuesday, you know, that's where we have a breakdown. So I was having an issue with the person he was making music with. So I had to be honest with myself about what the problem was. We had a conversation about what my issue was. I didn't like at any given time he could drop whatever he was doing and go. I didn't like that. I didn't like that we couldn't set up a schedule so that, for example, if he had a show, we had a babysitter scheduled, we had all these things in line so that I could participate and start to be a part of his hobby. I couldn't do that because it was like, oh, I got a show tonight and just be gone. Mm-hmm. So we had a conversation about how to fit his hobby into our life schedule. So if you're going to the studio, please make an appointment so we can put it on the calendar. My husband's gonna be at the studio on Tuesday from 9 to 11. So I can prepare my day or the week for him being out. Okay, I am gonna do a show on Saturday. Can you get a babysitter? Sure, I have a week in advance to make a babysitter, get a babysitter, and then I'm engaged in your hobby. What was happening for me is that disconnect of planning and scheduling wasn't allowing me to buy in to his hobby, which also made me not understand it and dislike it. So once we developed a schedule for it and he stopped messing with Chicken Wing, it's been much better, I believe.
That's good. I mean, I commend you because I guess I didn't know how to communicate properly. And I was just like complaining all the time and just not starting arguments, but a lot of my complaining led to like our arguments or whatever. And I think it wasn't until my husband had his motorcycle accident that he actually slowed down. So it was like, I didn't have to talk as much because now his life, you know, like he realized like my life is on the line. And you have a son at home who will be devastated if you continue like the lifestyle that you created instantly or whatever. But I will tell you, so this is kind of, well, not off topic, but what really took me over was during the time my husband was riding motorcycles or whatever, he had got like a certification for IT or something like that. I think it was like a 2-year degree or something. Anyway, he had a graduation and me and my son is there. We're like excited. We're like, oh, you know, so happy for my husband. And then I see two motorcycle chicks come to the graduation. I'm like, what the? I never seen these girls before. Like, this ain't like his homeboys that he, like, I know of. This is a graduation. That's like a mistress coming to the funeral for your, I don't know. But I was just like, he was like, yeah, you know what I'm saying? I put it out there to a few people to come. But the two people that come is two females. So at that point, I was like, done. Like, I did. I began to throw ultimatums at him. Mm-hmm. I don't know if it worked. Maybe it pushed him to fall off his... No, I'm not gonna say that. But but and the crazy part is one of the two girls, they showed up at the hospital when he did fall off his bike. But I don't know. I think between that was it for me. And like mm-hmm. I didn't have that proper conversation, like the mm-hmm. like communicated with your husband, Katisha, but I was done after that. And
it takes a lot to have that conversation. I mean, it wasn't year one. I mean, it might have been year 10 of bickering and going back and forth and have starting arguments about it for me to step back a little bit and say, okay, what is the issue? What am I? And there were insecurities there. I mean, you in a club, mm-hmm. you know, in the middle of the night, drinking and partying and shit, and I'm at home.
Well, Katisha, you only had one chicken wing. It was like 20 chicken on my end.
Chicken wings, I tell you, you got to get rid of
chickens
this.
And chicken wings, whatever you want to
call it. And the mumbo sauce, you know, the chicken wings yes. and the mumbo sauce, okay? So I'm like, oh my goodness. It made me think of that little TikTok too. Chicken wing, hot dogs and bologna, chicken and macaroni, chilling with my homies.
The whole song.
The whole song. TikTok is my life. Okay. So, all right. So with me, I feel as though, you know, I communicated a lot of things. Like, you know, when I was pregnant, I was like, okay, so are you gonna slow down with this? Are you gonna you know, take a break from that? And it was like promises were made that weren't, you know, like it was like, yeah, I said this, you know, boom. So when my husband got injured in 2013, that's the year we turned 26, so he didn't have any health insurance. So baby then YouTube how to rehabilitate. Okay. So he never had surgery to repair the tears in his knee. He tore his ACL, MCL, and his meniscus. Mm-hmm. And he got on YouTube. Like, I mean, he turned 26 like 2 weeks after. So he had 2 weeks of, he went to the doctors, like, so we knew what was messed up with his leg. It was, he was supposed to have surgery, but by the time the surgery date was scheduled, he didn't have health insurance. And at the time, we weren't married. So, you know. Mm-hmm. I couldn't help him out or whatever. Cause you know, you can stay on your parents' insurance until you're 26. Mm-hmm. So, but he did rehabilitate his knee all on his own, like Google and YouTube and stuff. So, and he's back playing. So now that you're back playing, but you know, you ain't been to no doctor, had no surgeries, no nothing. Like, mm-hmm. I don't think you should be playing the whole year. You get what I'm saying? Like, find your season. So there was a lot of conversations where it comes off like, I'm bitter because I don't have a hobby. And, you know, so that's why I'm saying these things. But it's also like, you know, I mean, I love you, you know what I'm saying? And I don't think you will ever hurt our kids, but we're not spending time together to see how we parent with each other. So I'm comfortable enough to want to go out and do... have a hobby and leave you mm-hmm. at home with the kids. You get what I'm saying? Because you're never here. You always mm-hmm. playing football. And that's how it was initially. Because I remember like one time before we had our daughter, I left him at home with our son. And I'm like, oh, what he eat today? And he was like, oh, a hot dog and yogurt. I'm like, the whole day, like the whole 8 hours I've been gone. So that's why he ate. He was like, well, I didn't know he was hungry. I'm like, well, don't you eat? Like, what? He was like, well, and he's a baby. I'm like, a growing baby, like he's eating solid food, like he needs mm-hmm. breakfast, lunch, and dinner just like you do, like what are you mm-hmm. talking about? Mm-hmm. And so it's things like that where it's just like the disconnect was. And I think us being, I don't want to necessarily say it's us being young, but I feel like it's us being young mm-hmm. because we haven't been able to get certain things out of our system before we started family life.
You know what? And I was about to bring that up, Kiki, because I remember you making that comment. You were like, I'm not going to cross the line, but you said you wish that your husband had this, you know, had this and that before becoming mm-hmm. a husband or whatever and a father. And I do think about that, like, maybe if my husband, you know, pursued his dreams, and me too, because I was going to speak mm-hmm. on that or whatever, you know, prior to marriage, they wouldn't like gravitate to this hobby. Cause it's almost like they like Leon was he's addicted to bikes. Like that's his mm-hmm. thing. So it doesn't matter if he's not riding during the season. I'm watching YouTube videos of him 2 years ago on the track. So it's like, it's never ending, but mm-hmm. that's because I feel like maybe us or, and that's what we're talking about our husbands, but like, they never have been able to like really soak in, not like a hobby, but like things that mean a lot to them prior mm-hmm. to becoming yeah. Married and a father. And that's why mm-hmm. it comes off as being selfish. Because mm-hmm. you can have a hobby and not be selfish. Mm-hmm. But it's
and they didn't have no money before, Lila.
True.
Now they got true. Money. So they really can indulge.
Right.
Okay, because I'm like, why do you need another pair of cleats? And he was like, oh, I'm playing with a new team, so I got to match the new team. I'm like, why are we changing teams, baby? What is this? Is we getting traded? I mean, where's the sign on this? Like, where's the coin? Like, I don't mm-hmm. understand. Mm-hmm. And it wasn't that, like, I don't mind him having a hobby. I just didn't feel like I was one of his priorities. But mm-hmm. so I felt like I was on a back burner. Now, mm-hmm. if you gave me that time to, mm-hmm. you know, feel like I'm as important, then I mm-hmm. probably couldn't complain. You get what I'm saying? Because mm-hmm. I'm like, okay, you're doing everything you need. Everything that needs to be done at home is done. And now you're going to go have your free time. Mm-hmm. Cool. You get what I'm saying? Yeah. But that took years to get to that point. You get what mm-hmm. I'm saying? Mm-hmm. I'm like, if you get a schedule, why aren't you sharing the schedule with me? So that way I could plan around the schedule where it's like, okay, right. well, he's going to be busy this weekend, but mm-hmm. maybe next weekend we could do something like just a date night and, you know, another weekend, it could be a family thing. Mm-hmm. I think what happens is for my case and my husband, I think that there wasn't enough intimacy. You get what I'm saying? And when people think intimacy, they're thinking like sex maybe. Mm-hmm. I'm talking about just spending quality time, like
yeah. mm-hmm.
walking in the park, holding your hand, staring in your eyes while the wind blows and my hair's, you know, mm-hmm. and the wind, Gone with the mm-hmm. Wind, Fabulous. Like I was missing that time. So mm-hmm. then of course I hated football because not only do you play it, then we got to watch it on Sundays, NFL, Mondays and Thursdays. And you know, Thursdays is Sean tonight, okay? Who has time to be competing? Mm-hmm. Then there's college football. Yes, girl, so Saturdays is football too. So of course I started to hate football. But yeah. now, let's fast forward to today. Like, me and him going back and forth last week, because I'm like, nah, you know, it's going to be the Bucks versus the Chiefs. Like, now I'm all into damn football. Mm-hmm. But it took time to get there. So like you were saying yeah. earlier, like you're not trying to come off sounding bitter. Like I'm not bitter about it now. That's why we could talk about it. Right. And it's not going to make me want to go fight him, but it took some time to get to the point where I wasn't bitter. Cause like mm-hmm. he even had signed our son up for football. I didn't think our son is a football player. Like, I don't mm-hmm. think that's what he wants to do, mm-hmm. but I think he wanted to spend time with his dad. And since his dad mm-hmm. is passionate about it, he decided uh-huh. he was going to do it too. So, you know, the first year was cool. But I was kind of, you know, shady boots. Cause mm-hmm. he's like, oh, I'm not going to make it in time to take him to practice. Can you take him to practice? And I'm like, I didn't sign him up. So no, I can't, mm-hmm. you know? And that's, I know. Okay, guys, don't come for me in the comments, but, I know that was shady on my part, but as time, like the second year, I was more involved, mm-hmm. right? But the second year, since I was more involved, I think that gave him a chance to, not that he wanted to not be involved, but the job he was working at the time, he didn't get off in time to always be there, you know, from start to finish. But mm-hmm. I think the whole reason why our son did it in the first place is to spend time with him. And if mommy's still there, he could be with mommy doing anything. Mm-hmm. So it's just like, you just have to make sure that if you're going to have a hobby, whether you're the wife in this situation or the husband, that you have to make sure that your priorities are taken care of.
Absolutely.
Correct.
Yeah, because when Leon was riding a bike, if he rode his bike to work, that means he was at work from what, 7 to 4, then he's not coming home after work. He's out on the bike. So a lot of times we didn't see him. This is like two to three times a week. We didn't see him until 10 o'clock. Aiden, our son didn't see him until the next day. So for me, it was just like, how much more of a point do I have to prove that, you know, this hobby is like getting in the way of, like, at this point, forget me, but I could subside my emotions and my feelings. It's like, now you're taking time away from your child. So like, now I'm defensive. Like, I'm getting defensive. I'm like, I didn't have this child by myself. We created this child together. So yeah, I don't think people fully understand. It was a lot. It was a lot.
Mm-hmm. And I agree. Like, you don't, like, so you have a game, but at the same time, I'm like, oh yeah, I want to take the kids to Home Depot in the morning to build something. Because if you don't know, like, you can go to Home Depot on some Saturday mornings. I think it's like the first Saturday of the month. And, you know, they give you all the tools so you can make stuff. And it was just like something just to do. And it was free, of course, you know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. Like, we're young, so it's not like we rolling in dough. So of course we want to take advantage of free opportunities. But it's like, oh, well, you know, I ain't gonna be able to do that because I got a game. And even though the game doesn't start till 12, I gotta be out there at 10. So you know what I'm saying? So that's where the issues come into play, because it's like, where do I fall in line? Like, I really felt like it was God, football, kids, then me. Like, it wasn't like me. Like, I wasn't high enough up. Mm-hmm. You know, I didn't feel like I was important. But, you know, while we are discussing our husband's hobbies, like, I'm okay with the conversation going towards, like, wife, like, how, when you got married, did you see a change? Like, people say it, but I don't think people really believe it. Like, so even though you've known your spouse several years before you got married, it was like you said I do, and then it was like the whole relationship started over and nothing was the same. Mm-hmm. Could you agree to that,
Tyshia?
I don't think anything changed as far as my husband. I think my expectations changed. I think when you get married, you expect more out of the relationship than if you're dating someone, because it's supposed to be forever. And it took me a very long time to acknowledge and be able to communicate that my expectations for you changed because you're my husband. Mm. The first 3 years of our marriage was very rough. I don't even know how we got up out of there.
Honestly. May I ask, did you have kids?
Yes, we had 2 kids before marriage.
Okay.
We had been living together, what? I don't even know. It's so many dang on years by this time. We had been living together, living as husband and wife, pretty much. Had 2 kids, were together for so long. But the first 3 years of our marriage was definitely rocky. I feel after that, we started to get settled. And I think by year, probably like in the last 2 years, it's been settled. Like, I feel settled in our marriage. We have a rhythm. We know each other in our marriage. You know, because we've known each other since high school, but we started dating at 18. So you have to change your mentality, change the way you think about your spouse, because you're not 18 anymore. The things you were doing at 18, 19, we can't be doing at 34. Things change. Things are different. Expectations change. I think us having kids young, you know, we knew each other, but you don't know each other as parents. You don't know each other as people with a career because you're developing a career in your 20s, raising kids. So it was a lot of growing pains early on in our marriage. And thank God we came out of it stronger. But it was difficult. But I feel now, and I think he would agree, feel settled. Even though things spark up all the time, we have to have these conversations periodically about different things, but that's the nature of marriage, I think.
Because I hear often that if you make it to year 7, you're set.
I heard 5, and I was girl. Like, I got to 5, and I was waiting for the butterflies. It did not.
You gotta let me know in November if you feel the butterflies then, because that's gonna be year 7.
I feel like we're inching closer, and that's because we are. Like, I felt like a lot of our old hard conversations was about finances. Like, that was hard. Like, after that, it was just like, I ain't even trying to talk about marriage. Let's just pay this bill. But now it's like we're having the hard conversations because. I think a lot about, like, if the kids went off to school or something, what will we have? Like, what will be the dynamic of our relationship? Forget marriage, but like us, like Leon and Lila, like how will we blend? Can we enjoy each other's company? Will I sleep on the couch and you sleep upstairs? Yep. I don't know. Like, I mean, I think about stuff like that. So I'd rather us like get to the nitty gritty now versus me being like 50 and like just depressed going to the gym, staring at younger guys while I'm walking on the treadmill. It's like, cause you know, I just think about it. And I'm like, I sit in my car, I wait to like being a whole creep. I don't know. I don't see myself, but I'm just saying, and then, I don't know. So, but I do think like our marriage, well, after getting married, it did change because we already had a child. So it was like, I kind of feel like there was no more Leon and Lila. It was Leon, Lila, and Aiden.
Yep.
My son or whatever.
And Katasha, I appreciate you saying like how the first 3 years was rocky, because I feel like the 7 year thing is true. Because I just now, like within the last year and a half, feel like, oh, we are great. You get what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. Of course there are still, like you said, you know, things that are gonna come up, but it's not to the point where it's like, why the fuck I do this? With the divorce papers, I'm like, you know, do I still got the mojo? Go outside, somebody gonna go, hey girl, me or something. But it, because, okay, when you get married, of course, people were like, finances is the thing, you know, that typically ruins most marriages. Okay, so what are we going to tell people before they get married, things that they should make sure they know, you know what I'm saying? Instead of saying like finances is a reason why marriages don't last, okay, what way can we make it so that when people do get married, finances are not a reason that your marriage don't last? Like prepare yourself for that, you know? I think people don't realize, like, you're getting married, not only are you combining, you know, your salaries, but you got to file those taxes, you know, and we have to make sure that people are doing things correctly so Uncle Sam don't come knocking at your door, you know?
Ignoring the cliche marriage advice. Like, people are like, you have to show up. If you're going to get married, you got to be 100% with yourself. Like, don't think, like, not cliche, but like, don't subside, like, don't brush that to the side, basically. Like, really listen to that, because once you become married, you become one. So you have to really learn how to share that space. You being the best version of yourself, your husband and your kids, or whatever the case is. And then you have to remember yes, you could put yourself first, but there's going to be so many other things that is a priority that now it's like you become kind of part-time, like you getting yourself back and figuring out what you want to do, what your purpose is, or what your goals are. It's like you can only tend to that. I mean, you can be selfish and just say like, look, I'm about to get my life together, although I'm married and I'm a mom, but realistically, it just doesn't happen that way. So yes, go into a marriage whole, whatever whole means to you, not by the world standards, but like figure out what you want to do with yourself, where you're headed. You don't have to have it all together, but mentally and emotionally, somewhat have it together.
And I think I can agree that that's some of the hardship we had in our marriage, because we were together as kids. I mean, you 18 years old in a relationship, you don't know yourself. You don't know what you like. You don't know what you don't like. You just with this person. So I spent a lot of time in my early 20s, you know, wanting to fix him. And we've had this kind of like, I knew he came with certain baggage and I wanted to be his everything. And I feel like I poured into him and I didn't pour anything into myself. So I was 20 something years old, decided I'm tired of pouring into him. I haven't poured anything into me. I'm be selfish. And I was, I went back to school. I lost weight. I, you know, started traveling. I needed space to become a woman. I was grown. I was an adult, but I wasn't a woman. And I spent a lot of time, several years, getting my shit together to be a woman. And it was difficult because I was saying, no, I'm not doing that. Or you gonna have to figure that out. Or no, I'm gonna put my money over here for a minute. And that was difficult for the dynamic of our relationship. But at almost year 8, Tatisha has found her womanness the same way he has found his manness. And now we are coming together now. That's why I'm saying it feels so settled right now, because no one is responsible for the other person's happiness.
Absolutely. Yeah,
I did what I needed to do to feel complete and whole as a woman. And he had time to do that same thing. So now we're coming together, you know, better now.
Because I feel like greatness doesn't happen overnight. Anything worth having is going to require time. It's going to require time, patience, blood, sweat, tears. And I think what happens is you think just because you said I do, like you've crossed the finish line. And it's just, that's just the beginning. Like you ain't did nothing yet. You ain't seen nothing yet. There's so much work that you're going to have to put into your marriage, and you have to learn how to compromise. I think that sometimes people get married and they're too, like, I don't even understand how you got married, because you're too selfish. You cannot be selfish in your marriage. Now, I do understand, like, because you have to make decisions for yourself too. You get what I'm saying? Like Katisha said, to find herself. But at the same time, this is why, if you plan to be with someone for the rest of your life, I don't feel like you need to rush to get married. I feel like you could take the time, make sure you date each other. If you don't have kids, date each other, make memories. Yeah. So that way it's like, it's something to miss when the kids do come, so that you have something to look forward to. Like, ooh, when this child turns old enough that we could leave them somewhere so we could take a trip, or they're responsible enough to be home by themselves, or they go off to college. Like, we still can have a life for us. Like you were saying earlier, like, don't get lost. Don't be in your marriage and all you are is a parent, and we sleep in a bed together, but who are we? A couple of weeks ago, months, it's been some months, I had a conversation with Katisha and our little crew, and I was like so distraught, because I was like, my husband's, I'm telling him he's my best friend, and he was like, I'm not your best friend. And I'm like, why are we not best friends? Like, I was so hurt. Like, why aren't we best friends? Mm-hmm. What can I do to make him my best friend, right? And one thing that was said in that conversation was like, you know, he doesn't necessarily have to be your best friend. He's your husband. Mm-hmm. So, and I was like, I ain't understand, because I felt like he needed to be both. And he was like, well, am I really your best friend? And I was like, yeah, you're my best friend. He was like, well, what is... He said my best friend's name. And I'm like, I mean, that's my best friend too. And he was like, girl, we're not best friends. And I was like, why don't you want to be my best friend? And I mean, when I tell you, I was like, butt hurt. It was like he broke up with me or something. Go tell me, like, I'm not his best friend. I'm like, why? Like, you're rude. You know what I'm saying? Like, how do you feel? Do you feel like you should be best friends with your husband, Lila?
No.
Really? It was just me out here feeling like we're supposed to be best friends?
Yes, it's just you.
Okay. It's just me. Okay, I'll stay on the island by myself.
I think it's too many expectations you put on your husband to set him up for failure. Like, your best friend, the reason why I feel like some of my girlfriends are my best friend, because they don't have to deal with the other stuff. Mm. Like, my husband has to deal with family drama, money drama, kid drama, house drama, my work drama. Like, he has to deal with it, everything. Where sometimes he can't come to me as, like, I can't go to him as a listening ear. He's trying to fix it. Men are fixers. And it's difficult, you know, to have certain conversations because you expect your best friend to be there, to be your listening ear, to have your back. And your husband naturally does those things just as your husband, but it's another layer of expectation that you put on him. Mm-hmm. And I think it's certain things also that you may want to protect your husband from, not share with him, just to keep your relationship alive, not hurt him. Like, but with your best friend, you can be more open. You can be, you know, unfiltered. Whereas with your husband, you got to navigate the waters to keep the home happy. So I'm not saying that you can't be best friends with your husband, but sometimes it may just be setting them up for you to be disappointed. Mm-hmm. If you put that out there.
And then I feel like
a couple months ago, you ain't say all that though. Because then I put a man more understanding. I don't think you said it. Okay, maybe I wasn't in the space to hear it then.
The other ones?
I wasn't ready to receive it then. Go ahead, Lila. Go ahead.
But I do feel like if my husband is my best friend, it's like then I'm putting him, like, it's like a level type thing. And then I get to, like, or I put him on a shelf and then I can nitpick what I do and don't like about him. So I kind of look at it like, no, that's not my best friend. And it is what I'm about to call him. It's a little, I don't know. But I consider him like my foundation. I set the foundation for his friendships too, because I feel like, I don't know, like him being my best friend is like, oh, I don't like this about him, but I'm his foundation. He's my foundation. I should set the tone for everything in his life, and he should set the tone for everything in my life or whatever. So I could go to him about anything, but he's above all to me. Mm-hmm. I feel like not God, myself, but
I think best friend minimizes their role in your life. He is my life partner.
Right.
We are partners. We do everything together. And with a best friend, you know, y'all don't do everything together for real. It sounds nice. No, that's my bestie, my best friend. Like, that sounds nice. But, you know, when people throw around best friend, I think about my husband. My best friend doesn't do half or provide half of what my husband provides for me as my life partner. We are family. We share a name. We share, you know, everything. So I think best friend minimizes his role in my life.
I like how you put that.
I do. I like both of you, what you both said. I needed to hear that. Look, you kicking it with Key, and you giving me all the stuff I need to hear, okay? Yes. He is my foundation. He is my life partner. Like, he don't gotta be my bestie, okay? I receive it. I receive it now, okay? I receive it now. Katasha, I'm telling you, you didn't tell me. You didn't say it like that. Okay. You say it like that, but like, I don't know how you said it. No, I probably was too hurt. I probably was too like confused. Like,
and you're still my
best friend. Mm-hmm. Like, okay.
So anything out here on the streets calling him a best friend.
Okay. It's like a downgrade. Okay, my bad. I mean, I'm gonna have to go back and apologize. Like, you know, I'm sorry for trying to make you my best friend. You're my next partner. You're my foundation. Like,
ooh,
like,
ooh,
girl, that sounds good, right? Oh. Like, ooh. All right, so okay. What like, I'm really like still blown away by that. Like, I really am. Like,
I want to go back to something that Lila said about like what we're gonna be after the kids.
Okay.
So we have been making a very valiant effort to work on our marriage to the point where 3 nights a week we have couples nights, like Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday. I don't know what the kids eating. I'm gonna figure out something real quick. I'm going to space out my schedule at work so I'm not too tired. So when he comes home from work, we watching TV, movies, talking, whatever, to spend time together. And if we've had the opportunity to talk more, you know, for him to hear about my day, me hear about his day, because I've seen so many couples, I think about it all the time, like, kids that I went to school with or I grew up with, and their parents stayed together until like the minute the child graduated from high school. Mm. Child graduated from high school, went to college, like, oh, we ain't got to put up this charade no more. I don't like you. You don't like me. Divorce. Mm. We ain't even got to deal with it no more.
Mm.
And I don't want to be that. So, mm-mm. So to not be that, we have to have our own relationship separate from the kids. I gotta like you, you gotta like me. We gotta be able to communicate, you know, we gotta be able to fight fair or apologize to one another. My husband always says, it's easy to fall in love, but I wanna stand in love.
Mm.
He says it all the time.
Stand in it, okay. Like, woo, we fell, but now we gotta stand, okay.
Yeah. Says it all the time. So it's very important for me to have time with him. Go on vacations together, or, you know, long weekends together, separate from the kids. Because if I only know him as dad and he only knows me as mom, when these kids go along on their journey and have their own lives, we're not going to be mom and dad no more. What are we?
Right. That's exactly, like, that is what I'm be trying to say. I do not want to feel like that either. Like, let's make some memories now. Like, so that way, when these kids are old enough to live life without us, it's not like I'm sitting here trying to get to know you. It's like, remember that time we did XYZ? Like, we should go do XYZ again. You know, I think we had our kids at a pretty decent age that by the time they're old enough, like, we won't even be 45. Like, that's still young. Like, we still can, like, do a whole lot, you know? Yeah. Katasha, she started her clock all over, but you know, we're not gonna talk about that because it's not mothering after 30. Newborns after 30.
At my defense, my oldest will be 18. I'll be what, 42? Go with your brother. Mommy and daddy are going out of town. Your brother's 18. Go ahead and go with brother.
So just to continue. Well, or to end, continue, or whatever the conversation. Leon and I had, well, my husband, because people don't know, but anyway, we had this conversation last week, and it was to the point where, like, I was crying or about to cry, because I was like, I was trying to prove to him, I was like, well, not prove, but make him understand, like our happiness is important, and I needed him to, like, I was like, I need you to see me, like, now, because I was like, what makes you happy? And he was like, well, I don't understand what the fuss is about. We're in this house, you get your job, da 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 da. And I'm like, Leon, like, this stuff could be gone any second.
Yeah.
So what is left? Just us? So, like, what is the... what do we have like between you and I or whatever? He was like, he couldn't see it because I think like, not saying this is it for him, like having a house and us being established and stuff like that, but that's his personal goal. He worked to get to this point, but I just want to make him understand that if this stuff goes, we have to set something here. And yes, we love each other, but like you said, Kataisha, your husband say like, no, I want to be able to stand. Yeah. You know, I can stay. We can stay married until the kids go off to school, and then I'll be a creep outside of Gold's Gym looking for 18-year-olds or 20-year-olds. I don't want to do that. I just really see myself doing that, but I don't want to do that. I don't want to do that, but so that's why I'm like, we really have to, I want to see you. I want you to see me for who I am or whatever, and if we gotta keep starting over and over and over, I'm okay with that.
I mean, I think
that's exactly what happened.
But you need to continuously date. And another thing that you know, most married couples say to you is never go to bed angry, and I really do agree with that. Like, I really do want to try to resolve something before we go to sleep, because if we could do it one time, then we could do it another night. You get what I'm saying? And if we went to bed angry on Monday and we're still angry Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, like now we're putting distance between us, you know, and we're not resolving.
I don't think you should go to bed consecutively angry, but I might need to go to bed angry tonight so we can talk about it tomorrow.
So what's your cutoff petty point then? Like, so
I don't have one.
You don't?
She's the ultimate. She's the ultimate petty queen. Give her the crown. She would. Poor her husband. No, see, but this is
mad that long. I can't.
So I can't stay mad for long either. You get what I'm saying? And you know my love language is, do you want salmon for dinner? You know, like, that I cook dinner, come eat it, come on, let's make up, you know, let's talk. But let's be transparent, for real. Yesterday I came home and I was like, what's up? Like, you ain't touched me. Where's my hug, kiss? Like, what's going on? Like, I've been feeling like you ain't fucking with me, you know, for a couple of days. And I try to be mindful because, you know, maybe sometimes I'm overreacting to something. So I didn't want to say something was a big deal that wasn't a big deal. And finally, yesterday, which is Friday, he tells me he's been upset since Monday. But when was anyone going to, like, when were you going to tell me you were upset with me? Like, I did something on Monday to make you upset till Friday. I mean, it's to the point, like, I don't know if we're good right now either, because it hasn't been discussed. Like, he said what made him upset, but we haven't discussed it. And now I don't know how to feel. I don't know how to process my emotions because I'm all over the place, because it's like certain things that he's upset about is not all because of me. And it's out of my control. Like, I cannot fix that either. So now I'm trying to push down my emotions so I can still be strong for him, for the other thing, the battles that he can't, like, he's not, it's a losing battle. He can't win it. But then now it's like, well, how do, like, we still, like, I don't want to push aside the other things on your plate, but how do we fix the main course? How can we fix what can be repaired? You get what I'm saying? Like, I mean I'm really like, I, you know, at a loss, because it's like, oh, you've been upset since Monday, you went a whole 5 days. Now if I did that, if I went 5 days
burn the house
giving him a little bit of shade, you know, I'm not gonna say he shaded me, but distant, distant, the whole world, like, it would be crashing and burning. I would have, you know, I would have assassinated the president. That's what it would have came off like, the whole grand jury. But he could do it. I think that's why I'll be understanding.
So I think that the beauty of marriage is you kind of understand the person and how they communicate or don't communicate. But I feel like part of that womanness that you come into and not being responsible for other people's emotions and actions, you still got to do that even in marriage, because you don't have the luxury of stopping this train from moving. And when I say train, your family, your kids, your husband, because he's still on the train. You can't stop that train from moving because we have a failure to communicate. You still got to keep it pushing. So I'm not saying you should suppress your feelings at all. You're going to have to push through your feelings and realize, you know, I got the backstory. You have to realize that what you're doing is in everyone's best interest. And when you keep that in mind, the extra will fall away. It'll fall to the side. But you have to stand. You got to stand in your womanness.
Just learned it last week.
You got to stand in your womanness. Okay.
Yeah, I think that women don't get the credit. Not saying that I need to be praised or put on a pedestal, but where your husband leads, he needs someone strong to hold him up. And I don't think the women gets the, like, honey, like, yes,
because
you're leading, but I'm pushing, you know what I'm saying? Like, you the, what I want to say, he the foundation, but I'm the cement. Okay. So you lay the foundation, but I'm building on top of your foundation. You know what I'm saying? And I don't think that people understand the weight the wife holds. Because, you know, it's supposed to be God, your husband, then your wife. But the wife, she's such an integral part in this that, you know, sometimes she kind of gets left to the wayside.
So I look at it as, you know, my husband leads, but I'm holding the map. So in order for us to know where we're going and how we get there and the best way to get there, your wife is holding the directions. I got the map. I know what needs to be done. Yes, ma'am. I know what needs to be done and how it needs to be done. And because I stay on top of the things that need to be done on this journey, you are allowed to just make the decision on the mode in which we get there. Because you can be the head. The head has the eyes that can see, you know, but without the neck, you're just going to be looking forward. You need someone to guide your head from side to side, up and down.
Okay. On the swivel. Yes, ma'am. I like it.
Yes, ma'am.
Look, you know what? I feel like wife life was for me. I needed the conversation more than the people, man.
No,
you never know.
Good type, Kataisha, because I think we forget, like, when we get in the zone of motherhood and being a wife, like, we forget, like, our strong suit, like, what we bring to the table. And I think not only do we forget, but I don't know, we feel like we can't be vulnerable, like we can't be upset, we can't be mad, or like we were talking about being petty or whatever. We feel like those two things can't exist or whatever. But I think, like Kiki, you were saying you were upset, you had came to him and you were like, that Friday or whatever, and it was like, you know, I wasn't getting no love or what so have you. Like Kataisha said, I don't feel like you should put your feelings aside or whatever like that, because you can't pour from an empty cup. And just because he hasn't arrived at a place where he knows how to communicate how he feels, we shouldn't have to subside what we're feeling. We need something. This is you know, this is a two-way street or whatever. This is not, you know, well, I've been a strong one. I continue to be the strong one. Like, mm-hmm. no, that's going to get played out. And we're going to get yeah. worn out. Yep. And we're going to become, what were we saying earlier?
Bitter.
And resentful.
Yeah, oh, resentful, yeah. You have to be able to walk and chew gum at the same time. You can be mad at me all you want to, but that doesn't stop all the other things that's mm-hmm. on your plate to complete. You can be upset with me, but you still need to come here and cook this dinner. This mm-hmm. I'll be upset with you and this laundry still got to be done. Mm-hmm. I can be upset with you and these kids still got to be in virtual learning. Who's checking this homework?
Come on.
All these things can happen at one time.
Okay. And I really hope that men take the chance to listen to this conversation as well. Mm-hmm. Men who are married, men who are thinking about marriage, like realizing that, you know, you have to, I mean, I think equally, like the wife should have her husband on a pedestal and the husband mm-hmm. should have his wife on the pedestal. Mm-hmm. So that way it doesn't feel like one person is carrying the whole load because mm-hmm. we are a team, you know? And I think, even me, I think sometimes I forget we are a team because I have an issue of like wanting to be in control. Yeah. Like I feel like I have to navigate all the waters because I'm not sure if you're going to test it to make sure we're not going to get burned or we're not going to freeze, you know? And that's something, you know, you got to kind of learn how to, sometimes you may just have to let him lead you to the hot water, okay? He got to feel the steam for himself. Then it's not like a I told you so, but it's just like, let me help you. Because mm-hmm. I can help you in this aspect, mm-hmm. right? Vice versa. I may need to touch that hot water and be like, whoo, maybe I should let him handle this.
And then he'll be reminded of your place, your part, why you guys are a partnership and he's not in this marriage alone or he's not standing on his own. Yep. Maybe we do. Like, I feel like we should have enough faith to know that God got us covered. And like you said, kind of like, maybe we need to touch hot water. And then you're going, who else are you going to look to, you know, to heal or to get out of this tough spot or whatever.
Right.
So, I hear that.
You know, sometimes, you know, we gotta. Not all the time. But, you know, sometimes a hard head makes for a soft behind. Sometimes mm-hmm. we gotta actually experience something to realize, like, oh, I could have handled this better. You know, mm-hmm. life is like, we are meant to make mistakes. Mm-hmm. It's just the importance of, are you learning from the mistakes you make so that you don't continuously make the same mistake? Because sorry or apologizing will get old after a while, you know, just like I love that analogy. Is that what I want to call it? Hold on, I may have to erase that. Katasha, is this an analogy? When that story where they be like, you know, someone dropped a plate and the plate was broken. And mm-hmm. now say sorry to the plate.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, you say sorry to the plate. Now is the plate fixed?
Right. No, like, that's an analogy. Yes.
Yeah, so that's how I really like look at life. Like I really break that down to the kids. Because it's not saying, I mean, you know, your husband is like your third child, no shade. Fourth child, because I should. But it's, you know, you have like, I'm a visual person, so hearing that story and then looking at it like, oh, like I broke the plate and I say sorry to the plate, but the plate didn't get put back together, then I understand, like, sorry, it's just change behavior is sorry. Like, not that word itself. So you know, happy wife, happy life. It's like, no, happy no, spouse, for real. Happy no, healthy house. Spouse, happy house. Like, really, I do feel that. I do feel happy house, happy spouse. Because it's not just about one person. It's not just about the wife. It's time for the gems.
No, because Tyshia had dropped some gems. Like I just said, my emotions. I just learned that last week until I had a breakdown that got me to that point. And it was like, I was crying and just like, I don't have space to be vulnerable. And that's not fair. You know what I'm saying? Like, I can't keep it together all the time. Yeah. I mean, yeah, it looks good on paper. Oh, Lila's a great mom, whatever. But no, I need to be able to be vulnerable. And I need you to not say anything, period. And it's not one of those things like, oh, well, I should have a say. No, I have to be vulnerable. And then if tomorrow you want to come back and say, well, this is how I feel, that's fine. But give me that space. I need that. Like, and acknowledge, you know, what I do in this home. So don't expect, I'm not a robot. Mm-hmm. It's not fair for me to be a robot. Mm-hmm. Like, yeah, you look at it like, oh, okay, well, you seem good yesterday. You wash the clothes, you fold it, and you put them up, like, yeah, that's what you see, and I can't stop, because that's just who I am. But share that space to be vulnerable, because when you talk about your job, you talk about your hobbies or your friends, I'm there, like, I'm listening, and I'm creating that space for you. Create that space for me too. So if I, like you, Kiki, you, your husband come home and you want love, you want a hug, you want a kiss. You deserve that. We need that. So.
And my husband said something to me a while ago. He says, you never complain about it. So I didn't know it was a problem. Because I'm trying to hold all these, I'm juggling all these balls that I feel can't drop, but I'm not saying, I need help. I need you to do this. I need, you know, you're not saying anything. So I'm thinking you're good. And the whole time I'm stewing because he's not picking up on that I need help. Mm. If you don't say anything, I mean, men are very simple. You need to tell me what you want and how you want it, not read my mind, or don't you see what I'm doing? Because they don't, they're not seeing that. They need it clear cut. Like, I need you home at 7. I need you to wash the dishes and put them away. Mm-hmm. I need you to sweep the floor with the broom. Like, you gotta
not the Swiffer. Yes. You have to sweep and then you can mop. Yes. You need step by step instructions.
Yes, very plain.
But I think as women,
emotional stuff too, though.
Yeah,
like,
yeah, but
you need that.
But as women, I don't think okay. I will say this: when it comes to being a mother, I feel like it just comes natural to most women, right? Mm-hmm. So it's just like, you know, I have to do this for my kid so that my kid can be nourished and grow and be smart and great, you know, blah blah blah. It just comes. Whereas with some fathers, it's like, I just gotta make sure it don't die. So I change the diaper, I feed it. And that's the basic, right? I mean, that's the gist. So even when it comes to, you know, managing your household, you know, being in this marriage, we as women, and I feel like all of us have been a victim of this, we don't say nothing. We don't speak up. We don't share, like, I felt overwhelmed today because I had to do XYZ ABC. Mm-hmm. Right? Mm. But when they come home, we got attitude with them because we feel it's their fault, but we got a whole attitude and they don't even know what happened.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Mm-hmm. So, and I've been seeing this a lot, like, not even with people who are married, like people who are dating, co-parenting, whatever the case may be, like, you're not saying what you need. I feel like if you say what you need, you will get what you need. Now, the issue with me is I'm afraid that I may say what I need and that he's not going to give me what I need. And then now I'm going to have a reason to be upset. But guess what? I just created a whole narrative in my brain that may not even be true.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So I feel like there's a lot of people that's guilty of doing that. where we just create this whole story that I'm going to say I'm going to need help and then I'm not going to get the help. I mean, there is times that I may have asked for something and I didn't get it to the capacity in which I need it, but I have to realize that maybe that's the capacity that in which he can give it. Maybe he can't give me what I need because he don't know how to give it to me. That's not his fault.
We got to be honest that we're imperfect. We are imperfect as women and men are imperfect. I say this all the time that I have to have re-up conversations with my husband. My husband is not the type like you told him once and from that point until the day he died, he got it. No, he's not that way. He has it for a segment of time and then may revert. So I'm like, honey, remember that conversation we had about Super Dad Monday? And he's like, yes, I remember the conversation we had about Super Dad Monday, and it goes right back in. We're imperfect. He's imperfect. I have figured out that that's what my husband needs, these re-up conversations about, and he has to do it with me too, his feelings, things that he needs, his expectations, my expectations. Like, we had to have a whole conversation about, I don't mind, this is small, but I don't mind doing your laundry. When me and you are on the same page, laundry getting done is no problem. The minute me and you are out of whack, your laundry annoys me. The thought of it pisses me off. So we got to stay, you know, in line and in tune so that, you know, when it's just laundry day, it's just laundry day.
Yeah. That is so real. That is so simple. That's real.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Because I, like, for real, it's like,
I just don't do the laundry no more. Not his.
Yeah, it's been petty moments over here too, because it's like, okay, I finally emptied out my laundry basket, and then he like, well, damn, you can't do my laundry. But I'm like, well, look, you know, 4 years ago, you told me you ain't like how I wash clothes, so boom, wash your own clothes. And he's been washing his own clothes. Now you want me to wash your clothes. Like, mm-hmm. Well, you need to ask me to wash your clothes then, because you shouldn't have said you ain't like how I washed your clothes. Mm-hmm. First of all, it's not how I wash my clothes, how I wash the clothes. You try to put too many clothes in the washing machine. You cannot overfill the washing machine and put one cup of detergent and think it's gonna clean your clothes. It's not me.
Well, I have the other. So I wash clothes. I use hot water. I use bleach. I use the pods and the fresheners. I have a very bougie laundry routine. I love it. Okay, but if you put something in the dark clothes basket, for example, I don't know it's supposed to be gentle cycle. Because if it would had special needs, it shouldn't have been in the normal basket. So I'm just washing the clothes all as normal. And then he got upset, was like, you gotta read the tags and pay attention. No, I don't. But then here come my mother talk about, Katisha, you really should read the tag. No, so now I don't wanna do it no more. No, you didn't brag on his side and said I was wrong. Nope, you gotta wash your own clothes.
I do have a basket that's like, oh, this is supposed to be like either dry clean only or, you know, delicate wash that I put my stuff in. And then he gets upset because, of course, I ain't been taking nothing to no dry cleaners lately. So he's like, well, why is this? You don't even need these clothes. You haven't even worn them. They wash. I'm like, first of all, mind the business that pays you, okay? Because he is quick to try to get rid of my clothes because he thinks I have too many. But, look, what makes me happy? Don't be touching my stuff, okay? Mm-hmm. You don't touch my stuff. You leave my stuff, I leave your stuff, okay?
Yeah.
Okay. Okay, so ladies, I really appreciate you all sharing your stories, you know, getting in depth, you know, being transparent. Oh my gosh, I love you so much. Both of you are like my sisters, you know? I got my sisters on the call. So what is some advice that you would give to someone listening to this call who, you know, is thinking about marriage, is married, getting married? You know, what's a key bit of advice? What's a gem? Come on, drop some gems. I mean, Katisha, well, both of y'all have been dropping gems this whole conversation, but let's, you know, bullet point a gem right now.
I wouldn't suggest anyone get married in their 20s. Spend your 20s growing into your adulthood.
Be honest. Tell them.
I mean, I feel like just naturally there are things in your 20s that you need to experience, and you should have that space between being a child and being a whole grown ass person to do things you want to do without restriction, responsibility, judgment. I think you should have that space. Spend time together. I mean, do things that that make you happy in your marriage. That could be making sushi together, watching a movie together. Oh, have him take a shower when he wants to.
Your man that came, he done entered the conversation. Hey, you don't want to smoke leaves.
he want to take a shower, you know, those type of things. Find things that y'all like doing together.
I'm going to second that. Kiki, I think I've talked to you about that too. Probably said the same thing. Yeah, like, spend your 20s getting yourself together, dating one another. I would definitely say travel. Like, if you have the funds, I'm not saying, like, if you don't, then that's fine. But definitely travel, see the world, understand it. Just vast in that time together before, like Katisha said, the responsibilities. I think kids' responsibilities, it just makes things so complex where you you can't really see your significant other. You can't really see them. Everything is just so clouded because you got to not necessarily put those things before your significant other, but it just makes it difficult and more complex. Get to know one another, spend time, date. Keep people out your business and
keep people out your business.
Yeah. And talk, have the hard conversations. Like, what's the dynamic of his relationship with his parents? Like, ask questions, stuff like that. Like, what do you think about kids before you even, I know people are like, oh, that's, I already heard that. No, listen again, like actually listen, ask the questions, watch how he interact with his mom. How do we talk with his mom? How do we talk with his dad? And I'm not saying that these things, you should judge a person by these things, but based off what you see and what you perceive or whatever, have those conversations. And that goes for the male and, you know, the male asking the female and the female asking the male. Because you don't think about those things until you get married. Like, oh my gosh. Like, yeah.
I mean, have conversations definitely about your goals. Do your goals align? Mm-hmm. Are y'all, you know, it may not, is the timetable line up and things you want, you know, making sure y'all, because you can be on the same journey, but you might be wanting to take the plane and he might want to be in the car. So y'all have the same intention, but the timetable of getting there may not match up.
I love that, girl, because the car ride gonna be longer than the plane ride. So you try to get there in 2 hours and it may take him 10 hours. Like, okay, girl, you exactly. Smooth today, girl. Girl, mm-hmm. I owe you a cupcake. So
we not gonna go there.
Okay, so what I would say is be, you know, able to take advice. Like, just sometimes, okay, there are people out here who be hating and they don't want to see you happy, right? But there are genuine people who really just want the best for you and they're trying to tell you something because you don't see it for yourself initially, that you know you should be receptive to. So I would say listen when someone gives you keen advice, okay? Like that, if it make your ears itch a little bit, it perk up or something, it's like, maybe I should take that into consideration. I most definitely feel as though if you do not have kids before you get married, you know, once you get married, enjoy like 2-3 years of just married life, just you and him, just creating, or you and her, who, you know, the spouses, okay? Enjoy your spouse, you know, find that time to just get to know each other deeper, a deeper level of intimacy, you know, exploring things, you know, buy you a house if you're interested in that, or buy you a condo, buy you a something. Just, you know, before you say I do, make sure that you have lived your life. Make sure that you have had bills, real bills. They have had real bills, you know, stuff as small as like having a car, having your own car, having your own place, just knowing how like life works, like how to be an adult before you just are two kids and now we adults. Like you left your mama house and then you went to together. Like, no, just, you know, get to know you, like you yourself, just like fall in love with yourself. So that way your cup is already overflowing and you have to, you have enough in you to pour into someone else. Okay. I just really think that it's important to, when you get married with the intentions to stay married, and you do all that you can to do just that. It's so many divorces because you just was in love with the idea of being in love, and love ain't gonna keep the marriage, okay? We gotta have more than just love. Like, we cannot, the foundation of the marriage cannot just be love. It has to be more into it, and then you build on that. So that's all I would say to you. Even if you don't take any of the advice that we have given you today, just don't give up. Don't throw in the towel without putting in you did all that you could, and then it was like, okay, I can't do anything. Now if you're in a domestic relationship, domestic abuse or something, like, we're not telling you to stay in harm's way. I'm just saying when it's things that it could be worked out, you know, finances, you know, small disagreements, you didn't wash the clothes with enough laundry detergent, like, you shouldn't get divorced over that. But there are people who get divorced for small things of that nature. That means you shouldn't have got married in the first place, in my opinion. But who am I? I digress.
I also think that one of those sayings that people have, like, men get married saying a woman won't change, and women get married saying that the man will change. Men stay the same. Who they are before marriage is what they will be after. So don't marry an idea. Don't marry, now I'm not talking about, you know, potential with a plan, because you can marry potential with a plan, but don't marry the idea of I see him being so much better, or I could see him doing that, because you can have an idea for someone's life they do not have for their own. And you marrying someone, you know, thinking that they could be something other than what they are, you should walk into the marriage saying, if this man stays this way forever, I'm gonna be okay with that.
That's good.
Let me say this. I'm sure all of you will say the same. I love my husband deep. He is the best thing that's ever happened to me through the ups and downs. He has changed my life. He has unfolded things in my life. He has unlocked my potential. He has provided me space to grow into my womanhood. And the greatest thing that I have done in my life is marry him.
Okay. I could praise my man too. Okay. We could do that. So that way it don't come off like we was trying to be hating on the man's. I could do that.
Let's go.
All right. So I love my husband dearly. Despite any ups or downs, there's no one in this world who I would rather do life with other than him. My husband has poured into me. He has believed in me when I didn't believe in myself. He has uplifted me, encouraged me, prayed for me when I couldn't pray for myself. He established me having faith. He pushed me to the church to find Jesus in my own light. And I feel like without God, our relationship can't prosper beyond the potential that we had set for it. So I am thankful for him. Despite any shortcomings he has, I have, I appreciate the fact that we do go tooth and nail. We fighting for this. So he may not be wanting to talk to me today, but he gonna talk to me tomorrow, because there's days I don't want to talk to him. And I talk to him the next day, but I love my man. I'm willing to fight for my man. And I'm going to protect my Black king at all costs.
Y'all are so profound. Like, I really don't have, I don't have anything other than, so if you listen to a song called Booty Box by Rare Essence, then that will, like, that really tells my story and explains how I feel about my husband. I'm just gonna leave it there. But no, you guys are, I mean, you guys took the words out of my mouth. I have nothing. But listen to Booty Box by Rare Essence. I'm telling you, that just, that speaks to my soul about marriage, my love for him. It's very profound. Just like the words that these ladies have said, you know, today. But Booty Box.
I cannot with you. Woody Box will be playing at the end of this episode. Please check it out.
Yeah.
It will be the outro. All right. So it's season two. I end every episode with this, you know, because we were talking about some deep stuff. And it's like, come on, let's liven it up. So, Lila, what you watching on TV, girl?
Your Honor. And then last night, I started watching what's the Southern Belle or Belle Collective? Belle Collective. It's on own network. But Your Honor and Belle Collective.
All right. And Katasha, I know you back again. You were just such a great guest the first time. So, girl, what you watching? Yes, honey.
So okay. This is a long list. So get your notepad together. Okay. Anyone that has not seen the movie American Skin, you need to see it right now, especially if you have a Black son, a Black nephew, a Black husband. Please watch American Skin. It's very, very good. I am watching The Bachelor with our first Black bachelor. Get into it. Okay. I am also watching 911 and 911 Lone Star. Yes, Fox, on Monday night. Okay. Waiting for This Is Us to come back. That's my show. I'm also watching Married at First Sight. Married at First Sight, as a married person, is a good show to watch because, you know, we always, as married people, you say, you know, it's not about looks, it's about love, it's about all those check boxes that we talk about. And Married at First Sight, I feel, really puts that to the test. Like, if somebody checks off all your boxes but ain't cute, can it work? That is the question. So Married at First Sight is a favorite of mine, and so is SVU. I watch SVU, and Stabler is back. So that's a big deal. I think that's it. Am I watching anything else, Kiki? I think that's it.
I think you said everything. Because we typically watching the same thing. First of all, shout out to Fox, because the spinoff to 911 is giving, like, are y'all trying to get rid of 911? Like, that's how I'm feeling. Like, it's giving really excitement. Like, whoa. I'm still watching All Rise on CBS. I really love that. It's about a Black judge named Lola Carmichael, and she's all thing Black girls magic. Love it. I did see American Skin. I did watch it with my spouse. You know, good conversations were had after we watched that show. I mean, that movie, I'm sorry. Really, really good storyline. Unfortunate, but it needs to be told. You know, oh, Katasha, you ain't mentioned Wednesday night. So Chicago Med, PD, Fire, all them good shows. And, I'm still need to watch Bridgerton. I need to watch Bridgerton. So
yes, you that's, do.
Oh, that's I'm next that on too. My list.
You watching that?
Mm-hmm.
So I'm gonna watch it so that way we can talk about it one day.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Girls, I thank you so much for kicking it with Key. Until next time, you stay 6 feet apart, you wash your hands, and you wear the goddamn mask. Until then,
hello.
I'm out.
Bye.